with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your name on the Sabbath morning for the privilege of prayer and for the opportunity to study your word and to read it in our own language and understand the things that are written in it. We invite your Holy Spirit to be present and to speak to each one of our hearts, because we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to thank Sister Darlene Smith for playing the piano for us today. She's done a wonderful job. And as we have been studying, we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been studying for the past week the prayer that was said on the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord's Prayer, a prayer that you and I have heard since being kids, right? A prayer that maybe some of you have already memorized. Can I see how your hands of how many of you have memorized the Lord's Prayer? It's a prayer that we hear often, but a prayer that I believe has profound significance for us who live today. Even though it was shared almost 2,000 years ago, it's a prayer that we can pray today. Prayer that can give us the strength to meet the challenges of every day. Last week, we made the connection between prayer and service. And we said that those who serve well, they pray well. And Jesus was able to give us the example of service, true service, because he truly prayed. And not only this, but we understand that Jesus was able to pray the way he did because he trusted God like no one else. He truly trusted his heavenly Father. He surrendered everything into his loving hands, knowing that God had the best interest for him. And so as we continue studying this beautiful prayer, the second part of this beautiful prayer, we are reminded that Jesus teaches us to address God as how, brothers and sisters? As our Father, our Heavenly Father. And in addressing him, he also teaches us to invite his kingdom to come, to recognize that he is the King of heaven and earth. And because he has this type of authority, his will is the best thing that could ever happen to us. Amen? God's will to be done in our life. And when we approach God in this manner, we approach him because we know that he can help us with each one of our needs. How many of you have needs today? My grandfather came to this country when he was 43 years old. And he said one of the things he had to learn very quickly, he said, and probably something he practiced in Cuba as well, he said, there's a difference between needs and wants. He had to learn that. There were a lot of things that he wanted, but every time he approached one of these things, he said, do I need it? Is this something I need? And in the second half of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us what to ask for, what we need to live on this planet Earth. And he does it in the same manner as he addresses God, our Heavenly Father. He says, give us this day. Do you catch that? Give us, not give me, but give us, teaching us that we are interconnected, that we experience life not on an island, but what you experience, I experience too. Maybe not to the same degree, maybe not to the same way, but when we hear of someone who has lost a loved one, Do we suffer, brothers and sisters? We suffer. When we hear somebody's in the hospital, a friend, a neighbor, someone who maybe you know and I don't know, do we feel that the sadness? We feel it. As the body of Christ, we feel that need. And it distresses us, and it makes us sad. But in Scripture, in the Lord's Prayer, we find out where we can find fulfillment for all of our needs. And Jesus invites his disciples to ask, give us this day our daily bread. How many of you like bread that's been out for 2 weeks? How many of you like fresh bread? Oh, if you go to France, you find bakeries almost in each corner. Fresh bread every day. You can go there, buy it, and bring it home. I was talking with my wife last night, and you can also do that in Mexico. And you just go to the bakery, and you get this fresh bread, and you bring it home, and you have it for dinner. And guess what you do the next day? You go back to that bakery, and you get some fresh bread, and you have it for dinner. And the following day, you go to that same bakery. They know you at the bakery. Because you know that if you buy that bread and you leave it out for 2 days, it'll probably get hard, stale. It loses its flavor. And God is inviting us to approach his throne of grace once a week. Daily. Daily we can go to him. And he will provide. He will sustain our physical needs. Amen? He's promised. Jesus is telling us, if you ask, it's because God can give it to you. And what you're asking for yourself, you're actually asking it for who else? For everyone else, right? When I ask for something, I'm asking also for those around us. Give us today our daily bread. Is it only physical things that God is wanting to give us? As Linda shared with us this morning, spiritual things. We as human beings have spiritual needs. And God invites us to ask for the living bread, Jesus Christ, bread from heaven, who came to this earth to teach us the way to life, the way to happiness, the way to success, the way to serve one another, to love one another. And Jesus invites his disciples to come to the source of life, to the source of happiness, to the source that can provide for our basic needs. In this chapter, Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 and onward, Jesus says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And he asks the question, are you not worth much more than they? Look at the fields, how they are clothed with all the beautiful flowers. Aren't you worth more than they? Can God provide for our needs, brothers and sisters? He can provide. I'll share with you just a little tinsy story here really quick. My dad was a teacher in Monte Morelos, Mexico. He taught theology. It was a time when the Mexican peso was devaluating. It was losing value. It was just by the day, by the week. You know how much my dad was making a month? And if you've been to TJ, you know that prices between the United States and Mexico are not very different. He was making $300 a month. 2 weeks, $150. In 1 week, 70 some dollars, right? God provided sustenance, both physical and spiritual sustenance. Not for a month, not for a year, but for many, many years. God provides. He sustains. And Jesus invites us to go to our Heavenly Father who is willing to give us what we need. But it's not just the physical or the spiritual things that we need. Verse 12 tells us, and forgive us our debts as we also, what? Have forgiven our debtors. Are relationships important? They are very important. Are relationships easy? No, they're not easy. At least not for me. Maybe for you it's easy. And how easy we step on people's toes, right? Get on people's nerves, right? We say the wrong thing, right? And we hurt each other. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. And God knows that relationships are important, and it's a basic need for us human beings to relate to one another. And He invites us to forgive others as God forgives us. In fact, at the end of this beautiful prayer, in verse 14, Jesus emphasizes it even stronger in this way. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. That's pretty heavy. And you might say, but Pastor Sam, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. You don't know the suffering so-and-so has caused in my life. And God still says, forgive them. Does it make sense in our view? Probably doesn't. But if we trust God, we will do what? We will forgive. I understand we live in a bad, bad world. And bad things happen to good people. Not too long ago, I spoke with a person who was abused. I don't know if it was physically. I don't know if it was verbally. I don't know if it was emotionally. He didn't say. He just said that there was so much pain and bitterness in his heart that at age 11, he promised himself he would take care of that uncle. And he went to live on the streets at age 11, looking for that uncle because he was going to pay for what he had done. Imagine. Age 11, on the streets of TJ, Tijuana, Mexico. 12, 13, 14, 15, with that in mind, I'm going to take care of that uncle of mine. He told me, lost time. I had all this bitterness. I never did anything to my uncle, but I hurt a lot of people around me. In fact, he ended in jail for murder. Bitterness festers, destroys us. And God, knowing that, says, forgive. And we might think, it's hard. And the only way I found out we can forgive is if we look at Jesus on that cross. If we go to the foot of the cross, if we stand there with John, with Mary, with those Roman soldiers, and we look up and hear Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's the only way. Jesus himself put this principle into practice. Those who were crucifying him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I find courage in that, brothers and sisters. I find hope in that. And not only I, but if we go to the book of Romans, Paul shares with us beautiful words found in Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And I read, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the good people, right? The godly, those who worshiped him, right? No, it says for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus moves on to this last part of the requests. And he says, lead us not into what? But deliver us from the evil. Lead us not into temptation. Does God tempt anyone? He doesn't. He doesn't tempt anyone. There's someone who tempts us, and what's his name? Lucifer, Satan. He's constantly trying to take us off the path, constantly putting in front of us things that we know are not good for us, but that sometimes we desire, we want, because it seems like everybody else has that or is doing that. And when I hear Jesus saying, pray in this manner, lead us not into temptation, I can see him speaking to me, Samuel. And I can hear myself saying, God, don't let me do something foolish. Don't let me do anything that will stray me away from you. Don't let me do anything that will put a barrier between you and myself. God, there is a tempter. He's out there. And he knows my weaknesses. He knows my faults. But God, keep me away from that evil one. Keep me away from the one who wants to destroy me. Can God answer that prayer, brothers and sisters? Amen. He can answer that prayer. That's a basic need that we have, protection, security. And God knows that as human beings, we are tempted. God knows that Satan is like a roaring lion wanting to see who he can devour. And therefore, he asks us, he invites us to go to God, who is the one who can give us the strength to overcome. I want to share with you a few quotes from Mount of Blessings that really inspired me as I was preparing for this sermon this morning. And I'll start with this one right here. The darkness of the evil one encloses those who neglect to pray. The whispered temptation of the enemy entices them to sin. And it is all because they do not make use of the privileges that God has given them in the divine appointment of prayer. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence? What does the word omnipotence mean? All what? All power. Prayer can unlock heaven's storehouse. Faith can unlock heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence. Without unceasing prayer and diligent watching, we are in danger of growing careless and of deviating from the right path. The adversary seeks continually to obstruct the way to the mercy seat, that we may not, by earnest supplication and faith, obtain grace and power to resist temptation. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Can God provide security, brothers and sisters? God can provide security. How many of you have been reading Pastor Tim Jones' devotional thoughts? Some of you are getting it. If you want to get it, you can contact me and maybe we can send him the email. But he's sending these devotional thoughts every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week, he shared the following quote that has to do sometimes with an experience that you and I have with prayer. And maybe you feel like you've been praying and nothing is happening. There's no change in your situation. But I found these words specifically encouraging for this reason. Often in our experiences in prayer, we do not get the answer from God that we expected or when we expected. Sometimes the time between our prayer and the receiving of the answer can seem long. We are often tempted to let go of our faith and give up. God is never late. His timing is always perfect. And if he has promised, he will do exactly what he has promised to do. He knows what is best for us and will always act in our best interest. Our responsibility is to believe him and trust him in every circumstance. He is ever attentive to our needs. He cares for all mankind, but he is especially attentive to the needs of his children. He longs for our communion with him and treasures our childlike faith as we talk with him. He hears every word and stands ready to provide those things that are in our best interest. He hears us and responds with what is best for us. That is not always what we want. It is often better than what we want because he knows what we need. Amen? And I think this makes it so powerful because about 3-4 months ago or more like 6-7 months ago, we heard his testimony. How God led Pastor Tim Jones from down below to sharing the good news with others. Amen? That's what makes it so powerful. Does it seem sometimes that our prayers aren't going past this roof? Many times it feels that way. But should we give up, brothers and sisters? No way. Should we be praying more? Yes, we should be praying more. Trusting that God is hearing our prayers. And I share this last quote, and I finish with this. In the secret place of prayer, where no eye but God's can see, no ear but his can hear, we may pour out our most hidden desires and longings to the Father of infinite pity. And in the hush and silence of the soul, that voice which never fails to answer the cry of human need will speak to our hearts. James 5:11 says, "The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He waits with unwearied love to hear the confessions of the wayward and to accept their penitence. He watches for some return of gratitude from us, as the mother watches for the smile of recognition from her beloved child. He would have us understand how earnestly and tenderly his heart yearns over us. He invites us to take our trials to his sympathy, our sorrows to his love, our wounds to his healing, our weakness to his strength, our emptiness to his fullness. Never has one been disappointed who came unto him. They looked unto him," says Psalm 34:5, "and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." Amen? Not ashamed. Why can God provide in the way that he does? How can we pray in the way that we should? Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 27, and 28 says, "And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And we know, brothers and sisters, we know. Have your prayers been answered? Yeah, they have. I prayed with some of you, and I've seen prayers answered, powerful prayers answered. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Is it a privilege to pray? Amen. A great privilege to pray. And Jesus finished this awesome prayer by saying, "For thine is what? The kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." God, you are the source. There's no other source. I can't go to Costco and buy happiness. I can't go to Walmart and buy some patience. I can't go to, I was going to say Kmart, but the one source where we can receive what our heart desires, what we yearn for, what we pray for, what some of us are crying for, pleading for. We can go every day to our Heavenly Father. Amen.